Gus March Phillips. I have a mission I want you to lead. Thank you, Sergeant.
What's the plan?
To neutralize the German U-boats in the North Atlantic.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I'm Scott.
And I'm Joe.
You are Joe, and we are doing before and after reviews where we go see a brand new movie in the theater, give our thoughts before and after. Spoiler free.
Spoiler free, of course.
Spoiler free. At least as much as we can always get it, right?
Right.
And we're smacking everything. We're disjointed today. We're a mess.
Yeah, you're probably going to hear the timer on my pizza.
Yeah.
I'm making a nice Tostino's pizza. Is it Totino's pizza or Tostino's pizza? No, Tostino's are the scoops.
Yes.
Okay.
But I say the same thing with you all the time. I never even thought twice about it, but it is Tortino's, I believe.
Is it? Oh, it's Totino's.
Totino's. Good Lord. Well, I'm glad you just brought that up, because please say the name of this movie we're about to see.
Oh, my God. Okay, wait. The Imaginary World. Hold on.
Oh, my God. You got me to cough laughing.
Wait, hold on. I know it. The Extraordinary League of.
No, it's the Ministry?
Of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
No. It's worse than that. I hate this title. I'm going to say this right out the gate here. I hate this title of this movie. It is the Ministry of Ungentlemanly. Gentlemanly? I'm really gurgling that word out. I'm bumbling that word. Ungentlemanly Warfare?
Okay. What?
Please say all that for me.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
I hate it. What a mess of a title to have
Why
come out of your
you
mouth.
Have that long thing.
It doesn't even, it's not even that it's long that bothers me. It's that the warfare and ungentlemanly, Jesus Christ. I just can't get these two words in my head. And that's really odd because the movie is based on a true life event during 1940 World War II. Prime Minister Winston Churchill started a secret organization. I believe it was called the Secret Operations Executive, I believe.
That's a stupid name, too.
Yeah. And he formed a secret organization. It was like a British bunch of people, you know, like he would get together these special, you know, elite soldiers and make them do under the line things, like basically.
Like Black Ops?
Black Ops, but off the books, you know what I mean? Yeah. Completely off the books, like doing secret operations. And so that's based on this. And there was a book written about it called Churchill's, I believe it was, the book is called Churchill's Secret Op.
It's Special Operations Executive, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say what the name of the.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. The book is it's about Churchill's thing. It's even more insane. It's like the title of the book goes long. It goes, The Untold True Story of the Desperados, or something like that. It goes on forever. Now, I'm wondering, would any of these names be better for this title?
I feel like any name would be better than the title of this film. It's ridiculous.
I just can't get the words in my head to say it. I don't even know why. It just does not work. It doesn't compute with me.
I know. I can't say ungentlemanly. I keep wanting to say extraordinaire.
Anything. But then the word warfare does not fit with it to me. It just doesn't click.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good marketing strategy whatsoever.
No.
Now, can we point this out? Because this cast is excellent. And also, I love Guy Ritchie. The guy continuously has been pumping out some really interesting things, especially this year.
Yeah, he's been really busy.
We already got his show Gentleman on Wow, that was loud. That was your pizza jumping for joy in the oven.
Popping. Yeah.
We got The Gentleman on Netflix recently, his show, which was fantastic. We absolutely loved it. And last year we got The Covenant, mm-hmm. which was also very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see this cast for this movie, which is what looks to be a mix between Inglourious Basterds and The Dirty Dozen. And that kind of excites me, especially the cast, because we got Henry Cavill. We got, I just blanked out on his name, the guy who plays
Henry
Reacher.
Golding. Henry Golding is in this movie,
yeah. Rory Kiner, who I actually really like, doesn't get enough credit.
Which one's he again?
He was in Men. He played all the men in the movie.
Oh my God. Yes.
He's a very underrated actor.
He's a really good, like, character actor,
yeah,
I think.
He's always in side stuff.
He's really weird looking, and I love his face.
I guess he is.
He's very weird.
You might be thinking of all the different characters he played where they made him look strange.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to look him up. But yeah. What was his name? Rory Kinnear?
I was actually going to talk about the guy who plays Reacher.
Oh, wait. No, that's not the guy I'm thinking of. Rory Kinnear. Sorry. I'm thinking of somebody else.
Let's get off the non-visual aids here.
Okay, I'll see myself out.
Or please see yourself back in.
I mean, I'll see myself back in. Sorry.
But I was talking about the guy who plays Reacher. He's also in this movie, who was also Hawk on Titans.
Oh, yeah, he's cool.
His name is, like, Richardson. He's getting more and more popular
recently. British actor. You would never tell, right?
I can't. Is he British?
I think so.
Oh my God, please tell me he's not. Everybody is now. Secretly, anybody that I just see for the first time on camera, I see them in an interview, I'm like, oh, they're British.
Well, I mean, this is a Guy Ritchie movie. Usually they all are British or Scottish or something, right?
I guess that's true.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay, his name is... Is that him? Alex Pettifer?
No.
No.
Okay. Again, get off the visual aids.
Okay. Sorry. Anyway, I'm just trying to, you know, put the face. Anyways, go ahead.
He was the second pitcher.
Oh, Alan Richson.
Thank you. That's him.
Haha. Oh, guess what? He's a Florida boy.
There you go. I knew he wasn't British.
He was born in North Dakota.
Come back to us.
Okay, sorry. I fell down the rabbit hole, man.
I don't know. I don't think this is the best time for the rabbit hole.
No. Everything I'm saying is wrong.
Off taping, maybe might be the best. Nah. It's called preparation.
Yeah. Everything I'm saying is wrong. Carry on. Yeah, we like him anyways. Go ahead.
Anyways, I was going to ask you about Henry Cavill and say, like, you know, there's this whole idea that, oh my God, he's not playing Superman anymore. How dare the world? And I only support Henry Cavill. Does anybody go to see Henry Cavill movies? Because no one went and saw Argylle.
Oh, I liked Argylle.
I know, you're the only one. I mean, I liked it. It was okay. But people hate it.
Oh.
So, but no one saw it. So my question is, what is with the Henry Cavill support where no one actually goes and see their movies? It's that really odd thing where people get behind something and just say, you know what, I'm supporting this thing, although I don't really support it, but it's a hot topic button, and so I got to fight.
That is 100% it.
Yeah.
100%. Like, they don't give a rat's ass about Henry Cavill and supporting his career.
Exactly.
They don't give a rat's ass, or else they'd be in the movie theater seeing his films.
It's like the entire topic of, oh, they have to put a strong female character with a strong female director and a strong female writer. Oh, did you see the movie, though? No.
No.
So why do you shut the fuck up?
Shut up.
Because when they do these things, you don't go and support them.
Right.
I think that happened with the Marvels recently, right? No one saw it.
Right, but everyone has a lot to say about it.
Yeah, well, I think everybody waited. And we went and saw it. We have things to say about it. But my point being, stop supporting things if you're not actually going to support it.
Yeah.
Because it's a crock of shit.
Quit your whining and crying over him not playing Superman anymore. And if you like him as an actor, support his career. Don't be a hypocrite.
I'll say it. He was a perfect pick for Superman. But he never got the chance to actually play Superman. He got to play a darker version of him in a director's crazy dark idea of what the superhero universe was. And he didn't get the chance. But we have to move on now. Mm-hmm. That thing is dead, and we got to move on. And that's how I'm saying here. I see this movie and I see him in the preview and he looks like he's having a ball in the preview for this movie. And it makes me really excited to see it because he does look like that Inglourious Basterds, Dirty Dozen fun idea of war.
Yeah, it does.
And I really love seeing those characters like a band of crazies getting together to fight Nazis. It's always to me a stellar idea. I could watch it all the time.
Yeah, same.
And when I saw Henry Cavill doing this and he looks like he's unhinged in it, it made me really excited. But it made me question, will this movie make money? Because I don't think I've heard anybody talk about it.
I haven't heard a thing. And I'm not going to lie. I saw the trailer and then I've not heard anything else about this and I haven't looked into it or anything. So I don't really know what to expect at all. I'm not expecting really anything. I don't have any expectations.
And that's why I wonder, is it the title? That people just aren't clicking with it whatsoever.
I mean, it could be, yeah. I mean, it has something to do with it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I really don't know what I'm going to come out of this movie with as far as a rating, because I just don't know what to expect.
You don't have any thought what you might come out with? Nothing.
I only saw the trailer once.
Okay.
I'm hoping it's a decent film. I really can't say what I think my rating will be at this time.
I'm hoping for a 7. I think it'll be a 6.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go see.
But because I can't be honest. What do we want from this movie? We want a fun, bloody.
Well, it's what I expect from Guy Ritchie.
Exactly.
You know?
You want that great dialogue.
Yeah. And also, let me just say for the record, I hope that I don't need subtitles for this one. Because I really needed subtitles to watch The Gentleman, and I don't make any apologies for it because there's several people on Instagram that I've heard also need subtitles for that show. It was hard to understand them a lot of the time with the accents.
It wasn't always the worst. There was times that I can understand that certain characters maybe were a little more than others. But as time went on with that show, I think found myself needing it. I didn't really need it. There was a couple characters I did.
I didn't understand a word that was coming out of their mouth. And so I feel like in this Guy Ritchie film, as with Snatch as well, I didn't understand a damn thing. Oh,
that
thing.
Was on purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm
they would
just
put subtitles on certain characters.
Okay. You know, let me just, let's hope for the best on this one. I really hope that we can get through without, without me saying to you 900 times, I'm sorry, what did they say? What did they say? So
we'll see. We'll see. All right, let's go check it out.
We're losing the war. Hitler is not playing by the rules, so neither are we.
We both know that I'm not very popular with the administration.
The reason they find you unattractive is the very reason I find you attractive.
If I'm to do this, I'll need my own team. You won't like them. They're all...
No!
Mad.
They'll need to be.
This is an unsanctioned, unauthorized mission. If we fail, England will be condemned to a lifetime under the German boot.
So I said, that is not a dog. That is my wife!
It's very good.
You and your operation are reckless.
And we're back. We just saw some gentlemen, some ungentlemen,
some
warfare.
Not gentlemen.
I said ungentlemen.
That makes more sense than not gentlemen.
Yeah.
Non-gentlemen.
Okay, sure. Okay. I was just trying to reference the title.
I knew that's what you're trying to do.
Did you actually know? Because I don't know if you did.
Yes, I did, but I had to put my 2 cents in because that's my job as co-host of the show.
All right, so. Besides being distracted by Alan Richardson's body, because on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm going to rate that dude a 10. Holy crap. I mean, that guy is... What happened? I mean, there is definitely some boost in his muscle mass that I am just shocked by. Now, I thought he looked big on Titans. He is unbelievably ripped in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend, he leans over to me during the movie and he says, you know, if I had that body, I would also wear that shirt that doesn't fit. And I said, hell yes, I would too, man.
Well, can I just say that there are no ugly people in this movie, okay?
No.
Now, I think
that's one of the highlights.
We are dealing with five very attractive men and then one absolutely stunningly beautiful woman.
Yeah.
So there are no uglies in this movie, I could tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, they went out of their way to just highlight the attractiveness, mm-hmm. and the funny part is Guy Ritchie usually excels at writing and boosting characters. Now, I liked all of these characters, but they weren't heavily fleshed out, and they were kind of, oh, you like them because they are quirky.
Yes, of course.
And they're straight up mass murderers who enjoy it, and yeah. It's funny to watch in a really creepy way, and to the point where imagine five serial killers are just killing stormtroopers because they cannot shoot anything properly.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, it's a full movie of watching these guys just maul through people.
You know, though, I mean, it was entertaining because of the way they were going about it, and also because they were killing Nazis, so you don't feel bad for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, and that's always the best part of having a Nazi killing movie.
Yeah, well, Henry Cavill takes, he's a leader of this group, but I won't say he takes center stage because this is an ensemble.
And what I will say, the movie does focus more heavily on two other characters who also rule the movie when they're on screen. And that's the characters of Marjorie and Heron.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to pronounce the name of the actor. His first name is Babs. Mm-hmm. Which is incredible. I'm not going to butcher his name, but...
Alusa McCoon?
I love it. I'm going to go, sure. I couldn't even begin, maybe.
Alusa McCoon. I mean, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it.
And, Gonzalez.
Isa? Is that how you say it?
I don't know either. Yeah.
She's just... God, she's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, the two of them, I would say, are probably the best fleshed out part of this movie.
Yeah.
The honest part is the ministry group. Well, they are also a part of it, so I shouldn't say that. They're a huge group, but two are separated and the other five are separated. And those five aren't exactly built. You just like them because you know who they are. They tell you, there's an exposition dump in the introduction to each character in the opening,
mm-hmm.
where each character just gets, this is what they've done, and this is what they do. And they just kind of get thrust into the movie. The movie doesn't have enough time to focus on each one of them or give them more moments. But I will say that the other two characters, they are really well built up. And they have a bunch of great stuff happening around them that feels very Guy Ritchie.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this movie definitely feels Guy Ritchie. Oh, I will say this, though. The fear I had going in where I felt like I would need subtitles, I do not.
No, not at all.
Everybody spoke very clearly.
Yep.
There is no accent. I mean, they had accents, yes, but I could understand what they were saying. So we're good there. And it just... This is a movie that literally just jumps right in.
Yeah, it jumps right in. And yeah, the beginning is amazing. The opening setup.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I want to talk about pros and cons or how do you want to talk about it.
You go ahead and start with pros.
Pros?
Yeah.
Well, I would say the overall general feeling of the movie is it really entertaining time. Mm-hmm. It is extremely fun to watch these people. You know what's funny, too? I was going to say that Churchill is more established in this movie. That's Rory Keener that I was talking about.
Oh, that's him. Yeah. Okay, I understand.
Rory Keener is playing Churchill in this movie, and he's doing a good job. Sometimes he looked better not so lit up than others.
Yeah, did he plump up or no?
No, that's all fat suit.
Oh, it's a fat suit. Okay. Oh, Rory Kinnear. Kinnear.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay. I have to, that's my job. Got it.
What did I say? Kinner?
I don't know what you said.
Okay. So,
I recognize him now. Penny Dreadful. Yes.
Yeah, he played Frankenstein's monster in that. That's right. Mm-hmm. That first season of that show, man, that was good. He's established very well too. They show exactly the right amount of things you need to know. I thought he was only going to be like maybe once. They kept cutting back to them and how important that was, and I thought that was really well done. But I would say the definite strength of this movie is just watching a bunch of likable people, and I would say that you kind of get lost in the fact. You never think about these people as the characters. You kind of think of them as the actors.
Yeah.
Because you're just like watching those actors like kick ass. And I will say that the highlights, I already pointed out what's his face in the opening here. I just said, you know, his body or whatever. But he is a standout of his crew. They make him a savage. And all I kept thinking was, this guy better be hired to play Colossus.
Oh my God, he'd be perfect. That's all
I kept thinking about.
Oh wow, I was like, this guy.
Like, I heard rumors about him being Batman. I think he's too bulky. He's
too big.
Yeah, but he would be the perfect Colossus.
Yeah, he's got something special. Like, it's weird too, because like even when he's like murdering people
with a bow and arrow.
It's like when he smiles, it completely changes the character from like savage to cute.
It's weird. It's really weird. It's just, it goes to show you how likable they are.
Yeah, he is very likable.
It's really, really smart casting. There is a particular scene in this movie that is by far one of my favorite bits of the movie. They go on a ship. And three of them have to kill people on levels of the ship. And it is scored by using a siren, of like an alert siren, but it is scored into the siren usage. Mm-hmm. And it is perfectly executed. They did great editing to use that for each hit, each kill. That was a standout stellar moment.
Yes,
for me.
I agree.
Gonzalez, she is by far probably the best part of this movie. She rules every scene she's in.
Yeah, I'm just curious, like, was that her singing? Because, wow.
She does it. She literally does everything in this movie.
I mean, she's literally the most perfect woman. She is an ass kicker. She's smart. She's absolutely stunning. She's sly. She's got it all.
Yeah, it's extremely toward the force of like watching her do almost every aspect of acting in this movie. She does everything.
Yeah, and she just looks amazing in every shot. Like
she has outfit changes at one point, three in like a span of a couple minutes, and gorgeous.
Yeah, all of them.
All I kept thinking was like Peggy Carter.
Yes, because you know I love that 1930s and 40s and like the pinup look and the you know, just the old vintage style with the scarves and the sunglasses and the red lips. I just love that. It's so beautiful.
I can't wait to see her keep going up in acting, because I leaned over and told you what we had just seen her in, and which was Three Body Problem, a television show on Netflix, and she is almost unrecognizable from this to that.
Yeah.
The character, you can see that she melts into her characters.
Well, one thing I did recognize was her lips, because I remember telling you, wow, I just wish I had those lips. They're so perfect. She has perfect lips.
Yeah, beautiful lips. I don't want to hear about these lips anymore.
Okay. Thank you. Anyway,
but those are highlights.
She was great. I mean, the cast was fantastic. They all did such a good job together, and their on-screen chemistry together, their like camaraderie was great. I just loved it.
But that definitely opens the door for the cons.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I already mentioned how there's not enough. I feel like there isn't enough of them. There feels like there's absolutely no stakes in this movie. Although I know this is a true event, it feels like the most heightened version of a true event, down to the casting. Because I was watching this movie and I'm like, okay, I know this woman and this man were not either real or they looked anything like this. Because how do you infiltrate the Nazis when you look of Spanish descent? And I kept thinking, this is odd. And this is one of those playing with history loosely in a way where kind of takes you out of the idea of being anything based on facts.
Yeah, I understand that too. And I also had that thought as a con because Miss Gonzalez, this actress, she clearly looks Latina.
Yes.
You know? So like, if she's supposed to be a Jewish person, this woman that she's playing was a blonde Jewish person. So it's just one end of this, you know, side of the earth to the other. It's a little too stretched.
I don't know if that's a good thing to do. I feel like that's really strange to do.
I also agree with you, but I think Guy Ritchie wanted, I mean, he didn't have to cast this particular actress, but I think I know why he did it, because
she's fantastic in this movie.
Wonderful, and she stands out.
Yeah,
and there's no way that this woman can walk into a room and not turn every head, you know. So I get why he did it, and she just plays the role spectacularly. Like, she's amazing.
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing, and I nothing against that. It's just this idea of casting that I don't understand. There is such a talk about casting and following things and doing the things right and people being mad, like, oh, we saw the Bob Marley movie this year and people saying, well, he doesn't talk the right way and he doesn't exactly look the right way. Mm-hmm. And then I go, well, how come we're okay with something like this? And that's weird because I did enjoy it and I don't want to take that away from it, but I think there is something on the table to have a conversation about. And,
of course.
And also, I couldn't stop thinking of Golden. Is that his last name?
Golden?
Yeah, what's his name? Henry...
Oh, Henry Golding.
Yeah, he's another one where I was like, an Asian man.
Mm-hmm.
It seems... Could this have happened? Could he have snuck into a German-occupied, like, area?
I mean, I don't
because
know.
Because they were... That was their... That's the whole thing, right? Like,
but was he actually a real person in history? Because this is what I'm talking about. Like... Because at the end of the movie, and this is not a spoiler, but something that happens. I mean, you get to see the real people.
Some movies do this a lot, where they show those side-by-side.
Yes.
This is one of those times where you go, maybe you shouldn't have showed the side-by-side.
Right, and that's why I said, you know, also what I said about Isa Gonzalez, because... They show the real person that she's playing, and they also show the real person that Henry Cavill's playing, and also Alan Ritchin. So, like,
Was it Alan? I thought it was...
Yes,
they
showed Anders, yes. And
I thought it was the Irish guy, and the other person was...
Appleyard. Yeah, him. They don't... Okay, the real people did not look anything like
No, this. I would say that maybe the Irish guy a little bit. If that's who that was, I thought it was.
Yeah, you might be right. I think they showed Appleyard. But either way, I mean... Look at the guy, Alex Pettifer, who's playing Appleyard in the movie. He doesn't look anything like that guy.
No,
you know?
Yeah, of course.
So it's not just with her, it's with the whole cast. I mean, he totally sexified, you know.
Yeah, it's like sometimes when you see these movies where they have that opening where they go, based on true events, you kind of almost want them to go, based on true events, through a lens. Or this is a heightened version of true events. You know, almost something to not lie about it. Or, you know, I always love, like, based on is virtually code for we played with it a lot, the true events. You know, just the words based on.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely went above and beyond on the casting here, because, I mean, these guys are slaughtering people covered in blood, and they still look like pure sex.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And people, and literally people, this is the kind of movie where people are just running into their bullets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. And I know it's one of those movies that when, like, I think Napoleon recently, we saw, got trashed because of, like, historical accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think that a lot of that was done for a reason. He was playing with emotions of it. And I'm like, I don't hate that as much when someone's playing with the idea. But in this movie, I know for a fact, people, like, the bullets make no sounds. I mean, they're like silencers.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody always jokes that they don't sound like nothing. Right. Like, how does someone not hear this? Like,
yeah.
You know, and this is one of those movies, someone can just shoot bow and arrows from across the way on the top of a tower, and you're like, holy shit. Like,
yeah.
I mean, this is how I play Metal Gear. I kept thinking, I was like, this is how I play Metal Gear. It's like insane.
Yeah, it was like all done for, like, you know, the fun effect, you know, so that exactly. The viewer is having fun while watching this. I mean, these events really went down, but I'm 1,000% sure that the guy, Anders Laysen, he did not wear a tiny, tight, painted-on shirt.
I don't even think the guy existed. If I look into it, I know that guy does not exist. It couldn't have. But whatever, we're not going to look into that now. We're just,
he did. Yeah, he did exist.
Okay. I doubt he was heart ripping out and things like that. Like, you know, that was him?
I saw him on the screen.
I thought that was... That looks more like the Irish guy than it does that guy.
No, I mean, they don't look anything like the people, the real-life people they're playing.
It's so weird. It's so weird. And a movie like this... Now, I really enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm.
But this made me appreciate how good Inglourious Basterds is. Because you love these characters that you meet in Inglourious Basterds. And you see bad things happen to them, and you're on the edge of your seat. You don't know what's about to happen. I wanted that to feel like that in this movie, but I never did, because the way that they portrayed them being just perfect felt like, oh, there's nothing to this. There's no stake to this. There's not, like, they're going to accomplish their goal, because they are. Mm-hmm. Like, historically, this is something that only got revealed in 2016. These events took place.
They unsealed the documents in 2016.
Yeah. And so it's not been that long, but we know that, say, Winston Churchill wasn't kicked out. And that's a stake in this movie. And you're like, well, we already know, you know, so there isn't anything to that. We know this is going to get, you know, whatever. So it's kind of odd, but I really couldn't find myself emotionally attached to the scenes, especially when they're telling you this guy's a badass, this bad guy is going to be a real badass, and then it's like, nothing. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Moving on.
And I think that is a definite hurdle for the movie that is just missing the mark.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, though, still a really, really fun time at the movies.
Oh, I had a great time at the movies. It was great. I had a fun time with this movie. If you think about it too much, yeah, you're going to be like, oh, okay, well, there's a lot wrong with it. But overall, those silly things aside, I mean, the people that you hire are like, they're not going to look exactly like the original, you know, the real human beings that they're portraying. But you can try and come close.
That's what I'm saying.
Guy Ritchie did not try
to
come close.
You know that joke where you ask somebody, oh, if you ever have a movie about your life, who would you want to play you? And then someone says, like, nobody that looks like them at all, and they say the most perfect person in the world. That's this casting.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want to see, like, the relative of one of these people in real life go, yeah, that's cool. That's perfect. Yeah. This is like, you know what? Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's who I want to play me, Joe. Just so you know, hire him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll make sure that happens when he does a biopic of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure you hire Katie Holmes for me, because everybody says that.
Well, then you're missing the point. You got to say Charlize Theron, someone who doesn't look like you at all.
I don't think Katie Holmes looks anything like me.
Do you think I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Well, no. But, yeah. Yeah, I just hire Gal Gadot.
I would hire Jack Black, you know, or somebody like that, you know.
Oh, I love Jack Black.
Anyways, what would you give this out of 10?
Okay, well, I was thinking to go 8 on it because I had a good time, but I think this is worthy of a 7. I feel like there's enough things to pick apart in it to say it's definitely more than mediocre and it's better than decent.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm going to go with a 7 because I think that this movie was a fun time at the theater and it was just a hoot to watch all these actors together on screen.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's a perfect 7. It's a fun time at the movies. It's mm-hmm. a fun time watching a film. It doesn't matter where you watch it eventually.
Right, yeah.
But it is a blast. It is flawed.
Oh, it's heavily flawed. Yeah. But like I said, if you just go in and you're just like, you know, trying not to think about the actual event, I mean, a lot of people don't really know a lot about it anyway. So I feel like this is going to cause people to maybe do some research and read up on the whole thing, which is cool because I like when movies invoke
That's true.
You know, yeah. The feeling that you want to learn about history.
Which I feel like might hurt the movie a little bit because there's a famous person in the movie, you know, a historical famous person. And I was like, was that person really a part of this? And I'm like, I have to research it. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to uncover how flawed the movie is historically.
You know, though, I mean, when you read up on it, you just have to know that those events were true and that really happened. And this is just for entertainment purposes.
I guess
he's trying to like tell a little bit of the story with just a baseline. Because he's not going too in-depth with whatever. It's just he's kind of just doing like a surface touch, you know, like a run over, like a quick, you know, drive-by, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know? And so he's kind of just putting it out on the surface for you. And then you could just go back and research the actual event. But, I mean, who doesn't want to go to the movies? You got 5 hunky guys, 1 beautiful woman, a lot of crazy shit happening, explosions and all sorts of things on the screen. It was a fun time. It was a fun time at the movies.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. I recommend going to see it because it was fun. It was a fun time.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So that's our thoughts on the movie. I think we both suggest checking out. Absolutely. Yeah. So thanks for listening, everybody. You can hit us on social media. I'm at Just Another Movie Night on Instagram, and Joe is crafting some crafty things on her site. You should go check it out on Instagram at The Crafty Misfit. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Good
night. Abort this mission now.
Hello? Can't hear you.
Please do off.